first summer just has a month or so to go, but it's not over yet. And even if it were over, it's never too late to talk about today's Food Friday topic, ice cream.
Not just any ice cream, though. We're looking at Mexican ice cream this week. And that includes dairy-based frozen treats, sorbets, and all the sweet, spicy, and savory toppings that go along with them.
Fani Gerson is a chef and nationally known expert on Mexican sweets. Her new cookbook is called Mexican Ice Cream, Beloved Recipes and Stories. Fani, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, the history you write of Mexican ice cream goes really far back. Can you tell us the origins?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be talking about Mexican ice cream with you. And so the first ice creams of Mexico, not ice creams per se, but the first frozen treats, date way back when the Spaniards arrived to Mexico. And so they would gather snow from the top of two volcanoes that are near, they're in the center of Mexico, very close to Mexico City, called Iztaccíhuatl and Popocatépetl. And they would collect this ice and would bring it down. Of course, they had many different ways of insulating them. And they would then press like natural fruits, because they're all abundant in Mexico. And they would use they would mix it together in a kind of shaved ice, rustic kind of way. But this was definitely a treat for, you know, people in power. And, it wasn't until much later on that it was available, any kind of frozen treat, to everybody in Mexico.
You tell this wonderful, wonderful story at the beginning of your book about searching for a little town where you'd gotten a tip that they had really good ice cream there. And you kind of just went and sniffed it out and spent all day sampling ice cream. Can you tell us about that and what was so special about it?
This was amazing. So when I had my first job as a pastry chef in a restaurant here called Rosa Mexicano in New York, and I went to Mexico to wait for my visa, and I really wanted to, you know, do research and find about old recipes and trying to give them a modern twist. And then I kept asking everybody, you know, if they knew of something that was really special or a book or anything. And my aunt heard from a colleague of hers, she was a teacher, that there's this little town in the outskirts of Mexico City. You know, it's like, there's an ice cream town. I'm like, what do you mean there's an ice cream town? And it's been here in my backyard my whole life. What are you talking about? And so she didn't have any address or anything. And that's very common in Mexico. It's like, oh, you just go around there and you ask. Now, it wasn't really a town per se. It's really between two towns. It was a highway. And it's just, you know, several blocks long, and there's these wooden buckets with cylinders inside and ice that's sort of in between each of them. This is a type of ice cream, very traditional in Mexico, called nieve de garrafa. Garrafa is the name of the cylinder. And you have all of these just colorful signs with very poetic names. And my sister was there. So my aunt and I were there. And we just spent like half of the day just searching for the place. And then the other half just eating as much ice cream as we could. And that was an experience that really changed my life, you know, without knowing it at the time.
So you've gone treasure hunting for ice cream. You've written now about Mexican ice cream. What is it that makes Mexican ice cream unique?
I think that two things that really stand out to me, there's many things, but two things that really stand out is that method that I was briefly describing before, the of hand paddling, is still made in many places in Mexico. Like, this is very much a family tradition. It's part of an oral tradition that's passed down from generation to generation, and people make them all around Mexico. And that makes it very, very special. This is kind of ice cream that you can't, you know, it doesn't hold for another day. You know, you have to eat it that day. So they make it, and it takes a really long time. And the second thing is the regionality. So in Mexico, food is extremely regional. But I don't think that people, even in Mexico, sometimes realize how how diverse it is and how specific. So there's certain flavors that you can only find, not only in a specific state, but in a little town of a little city of a specific state. And that, you know, is often because you can't find a specific fruit that, you know, it just doesn't grow somewhere else. And some others are specific flavors that just wouldn't sell somewhere else. So I think those are two things that really stand out for me. And if I could just add one more, if you go to an ice cream shop in the States, for example, or in a lot of places in Europe, you're going to find a very small selection of sorbets. And in Mexico, it's the opposite. You have, you know, at least half of them, and in some cases even more sorbet selection. So that's really, you know, it's not an afterthought, you know, and often it feels like in a lot of places they have sorbet just because they have to have an option that's dairy-free. But in Mexico, like, I can tell you, anytime I go to an ice cream shop, I always get sorbet.
We're talking to Fani Gerson right now, chef and nationally renowned expert on Mexican sweets. And her new cookbook is called Mexican Ice Cream, Beloved Recipes and Stories. And Fani, I just finally tried this place my family has been raving about. It's a Mexican ice cream shop in Madison, Wisconsin. And some of the things that struck me, and you see this in your book as well, is the flavors. Different flavors. You've got chili and mango. You've got avocado. You've got chamoy and also cheese. So can you tell us about sort of the range of the different flavors that you're going to find?
Yeah. I mean, what's the name of that?
La Michoacán.
La Michoacana, yes. I was going to guess. That's the most common name. The array of flavors is really impressive. I mean, I think... because of the abundance of fruit, like fruit is definitely plays a big part about, you know, in flavors in Mexican ice cream. You know, you have from tamarind to mango, guava, you know, and there's a lot of seasonal fruits that, you know, in the same way that you can't find them in the market, you won't find them in the ice cream. But you also have like cheese, and some of the cheeses, for example, you know, in the Yucatan area, they have queso de bola, which is like a Hollandaise cheese, like a Gouda, and you can only find it there. And that's very, you know, it's more savory. But in other parts, you have, you know, more like a queso fresco, which is a ricotta type cheese. And we definitely love our spice and our citrus elements. And that, you know, ice cream is no exception. So a lot of places is not even just about the flavor of the ice cream, but how it's served. So there you'll often find stands that have, you know, cups that have chili in the bottom and in the edges, for you to scoop whichever flavor you want. And then even in some places, they squeeze lime over it. So it's definitely, you know, not just vanilla and chocolate that you'll find.
Well, Fani, let's get into making this at home. And I'm looking at pictures in your book right now of people stirring this by hand with big paddles and huge buckets. Your recipes call for just the standard ice cream maker we can have at home. First of all, does it come out as good if I make it in my ice cream maker at home versus, you know, paddling it all morning in that big bucket?
Yeah, you know, it's actually funny because it comes very close to it, because a lot of usually the home machines, you know, they're not very fast. They're not like professional machines. Professional machines, you know, you can avoid, you know, crystallization and things like that because they freeze very fast and they add a lot of air. So the machines that you get at home, for the most part, kind of mimic what you would do at hand, you know, by hand. So it's pretty close.
And you talk about, going back to your love of sorbet, you said you could have written an entire book about sorbet. So let's start with a sorbet, since you love it so much. You gave us a recipe, deviled mango sorbet. Can you talk us through it?
Yeah. Well, I don't have the recipe in front of me, unfortunately, but it's really about the ripe mangoes. You know, it's about choosing the mangoes, and there's many different varieties. And what makes it deviled is the spiciness of it. So, you know, it's really, you know, you have a very ripe mango. You put a little bit of of lime or lemon to really heighten, and then it has the chili.
That sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking to Chef Fani Gerson about making Mexican ice cream on today's edition of Food Friday. And you can join in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Tell us if you've tried making your own ice cream or sorbets at home. What works for you? Do you use any Mexican ice cream recipes? Have you tried these different flavors that Fani's talking about? Have you been to a Mexican ice cream shop or eaten ice cream in Mexico yourself? And if you need some advice on making ice cream at home, or sorbet, call in now. We've got answers, I think, or Fani does. I don't. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post and find some recipes on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll pick up our conversation in a little bit here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're picking up the conversation with Chef Fani Gerson about Mexican ice cream. And she's the author of the book, Mexican Ice Cream, Beloved Recipes and Stories.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234 or post and find some recipes on the Central Time Facebook page. Do you make your own ice cream, popsicles, or sorbets at home? Have you used some of these Mexican-style flavors, chilies, sour cream maybe to make the frozen treats? Do you need tips for toppings or using seasonal ingredients for your ice cream? Just some advice on ice cream making in general. Fani is here to help. Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll take a caller now. We've got Ken joining us in Madison. Ken, hi.
Hello. Yeah, I was just wondering. I had a probably a pretty simple question here. I was wondering about when I think of Mexican ice cream, I always thought of like fried ice cream because that's what I see in restaurants around town here. But the things that you're describing sound a lot more exotic. So I was kind of wondering, how does fried ice cream fit into all of this? And where can I taste some of these delicious sounding treats locally here?
All right, Kent, thank you for that. And Fani.
Well, thank you, Ken, for your question. Actually, I have to tell you that in Mexico, we do not have a fried ice cream. So I don't know where that came from. And I didn't learn about fried ice cream in Mexican restaurants until I moved to the States. And so I thought when I did the research for the book, I said, well, maybe it has a root somewhere, but I honestly couldn't find it. Not to say that it's not delicious. And I think you were mentioning that there's La Michoacana ice cream shop. So
right here in Madison, Kent. So I think that's check it out.
You know, and definitely, you know, you can, I encourage you to go try them. And then there's really so many amazing flavors and they're definitely very interesting. And, you know, if you love them, then you can buy the book and make them at home as well.
Kent, thanks for calling in. We go next to Dave on the line in Madison. Dave, hi.
Hi there. I was just wondering from our guests if, we've at home, we've tried to make, some popsicles a few times and with yogurt and or other dairy base, but we've had a little bit of trouble with crystallizing. And I wondered if your guests had any thoughts on how to avoid crystallizing or kind of a gritty flavor that comes through on popsicles.
But these are like dairy popsicles, Dave?
Yes.
Okay. Any thoughts, Fani?
Yeah, I just have a question for Dave. Is this just particularly with yogurt or...
It was mostly with yogurt.
Yeah, so yogurt definitely, you know, because of the acidity and it doesn't have as much fat as, you know, other dairy, it's going to naturally crystallize. But if you use something like honey to sweeten it rather than other sugars, that always helps. And then also if you use a type of yogurt that is naturally heavier, like a Greek or a Persian yogurt, that's also going to help.
All right. Good luck, Dave.
Dave, thanks for that. And Fani, you walk us through the ingredients in the beginning of your book and a couple that you emphasize. You say Mexican cinnamon and Mexican vanilla. Can you two tell us what the distinction is there with those?
Yeah. So there's different kinds of cinnamon, and Mexican cinnamon is a type of cinnamon also referred to as true cinnamon, and which grows in different parts of the world as well. And it's very different to the one that's most commonly found, you know, that you find. The most common one is called cassia, and that's the one that has kind of a kind of hard shell that's perfectly round. You know what I'm talking about? That variety, the one that you most commonly found, is a bit spicy, you know, and it's a great cinnamon, don't get me wrong, but the Mexican cinnamon has a very different taste. It's much more floral, a little bit sweeter, and it has, you know, the bark is much thinner. So it's something, you know, if I really encourage people to seek out, because for a recipe like the horchata, you know, where cinnamon plays a big role, it really is going to make a difference. It's still going to be delicious if you're not able to find it, but it's just going to be a very different experience. So I use Mexican cinnamon for everything. And you can, you know, nowadays you can buy it a lot in many places, even online. So I always get whole, and then I grind it myself in like a coffee or spice grinder, and then I sift it. And then when it comes to vanilla, actually vanilla is originally from the Americas, and most people, you know, there's some contradiction, but most experts agree that it's from Mexico. So, you know, for me, always I try to support as much of the Mexican ingredients that I can. There has been a shortage, I will say. So, you know, if you're going to use the Mexican vanilla, is also like a little bit sweeter than some of the other ones, just naturally sweeter. It's not as plump as other ones, but it's very concentrated flavor. But there's certainly a lot of really good vanilla from other places like Tahiti and Madagascar, if you can't find it.
We're talking to Fani Gerson, author of Mexican Ice Cream, Beloved Stories and Beloved Recipes and Stories. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Talking about ingredients, Fani, you talked about the regional ingredients of Mexico. You're operating out of New York now. Have you done some experimenting? Have you used regional foods from up there to come up with new Mexican-style ice cream flavors?
Yes. I mean, that's a very, very good question, because when I first started out, I really wanted to do flavors that you could only get in Mexico, right? But we have a lot of amazing fruit here that doesn't grow in Mexico, or the varieties are different. Like the stone fruit here is amazing. And in Mexico, it's not as varied as it is here. So I said, well, you know, instead of just being so stubborn and wanting to get to do just flavors that you get in Mexico, especially as a chef, you know, you want to use the local produce as much as possible. But it's really, you know, Mexican cuisine is about that. It's about, you know, that's a very important aspect, is to highlight what grows in the area. So there is one of my favorite things, and I have a recipe in the book, is I have it as a topping, but I use it as a mix-in as well. It's these apricots, roasted apricots with guajillo chili. It's so good. And then I just mix it inside, you know, a sour cream ice cream that I make here at the shop. And that's one of my, you know, one of my favorites. We also get amazing blueberries and raspberries. And so we make a hibiscus raspberry paletas and sorbet. Mm. So you're always, you know, that's amazing. And even herbs like verbena, that's something that we don't have in Mexico, but we have similar things. So we do like a lime paleta, which is very traditional in Mexico, but then it has like a verbena syrup and strawberries that taste very different than the ones we have in Mexico.
You've got a recipe that might surprise some people. Rose petal ice cream. I've had rose water, and I've gotten to love like lavender brownies and lavender, you know, beverages. But I've never seen rose petal ice cream. What is that like?
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, one of those. It's I think with anything floral, it's very acquired taste, but it's a very celebratory one. And I think the important thing is to to source roses that don't have any pesticides or anything like that, because you know it's not good for you, but also the flavor is not going to be there. So it's a very lovely, subtle flavor. The recipe also has some almonds, and that just has a slight nutty flavor. And I think it's a great recipe to make, you know, for Mother's Day or Valentine's Day or something like that. It's really lovely.
Now, I don't want to start any fights here, but suppose somebody was listening and thinking, okay, I'm thinking about traveling to Mexico. I want to make sure I get some good ice cream. Oof. If there's one region of the country they should make sure they get to get great ice cream, where would you send them?
That's a very difficult, you ask me all these difficult questions.
We ask the tough questions here.
You do ask the tough questions. I would say Oaxaca is a good place to start. Because there's amazing ice cream and it's accessible, because there's a lot of regions where it is, but you have to kind of travel a bit to get to the different places. But Oaxaca is a concentration of amazing ice cream and sorbet right in the center.
Well, it looks delicious, Fani. Thank you so much for sharing this with us today.
Thank you.
That was Fani Gerson, a chef and nationally renowned expert on Mexican sweets. Her new cookbook is called Mexican Ice Cream, Beloved Recipes and Stories. And you can find some of her recipes for making your very own Mexican-inspired ice creams, sorbets, and toppings at WPR.org. Or you can also check the Central Time Facebook page.
You own an ice cream maker. I don't. And I keep thinking, no, it's just going to take up space. This book almost is putting me over the edge to find.
I have to put in a plug for ice cream makers. It was a wedding gift, so we didn't spring for it ourselves. But I have to say, it's one appliance that I say has more than paid for itself for someone else who paid for it. But it's worth it.